and welcome back to the Cine Club podcast. I'm Dion.
I'm Matthew.
I'm Rhys.
And I'm Billy. Today, we're discussing the iconic Aardman Animation Studio and their stop-motion works. Let's start with arguably their most iconic work, Wallace and Gromit. Which of their outings is your favourite? Feathers McGraw one,
yeah,
the original
one. I didn't know what it was called.
Wrong Trousers.
Yeah, Wrong Trousers, that's the best one. See, you can't even just say the Feathers McGraw one now because they did that
did
one.
Two of them,
yeah, they did that one and it wasn't as good.
I don't even know if
it was good, but it wasn't as good.
It was alright. You had some funny bits in it.
I think when you're doing a feature length Wallace and Gromit film again, though, you can't really help but compare it to the Curse of the Were-Rabbit, and that's like really good as well.
Yeah.
That's probably the one which I think to me like means a lot to me because I think that was the first one I ever watched. Mm-hmm, as a kid.
Same. Yeah.
Well, the only thing that I remember out of the new Feathers McGraw one was that the farmer from Shaun the Sheep's in it for like 2 seconds. Mm-hmm, that's all I remember.
I remember Peter Kay coming back.
Oh yeah,
Peter Kay was in it. He's all in it. That's like the first thing he's done in like years as well. You know.
Okay, so should we start at the beginning?
It's a good place.
What about the first one? Which we have just rewatched like seconds before this podcast started.
It's good, yeah, isn't it? Yeah. I like it. It makes me hungry.
Makes you hungry.
If that makes sense.
But that is about cheese.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I don't want eating the cheese on the moon. Well, yeah. Eating the moon, that is cheese. It makes us hungry.
I think it's got a very unique style to it because it's the first of them, you know? It's like when they hadn't had their art style and the craft meal.
Scary.
But Wallace does look quite scary, yeah. It's because we're so used to like the like more on model versions of them now, where they're more like rounder and like softer looking. Whereas like in this first one, like obviously this was like when was this 70s 80s
the 80s
80s yeah, yeah. This is when they like really like hadn't really found the brand yet, Aardman. Yeah. So they were, you can still see all the fingerprints and that, all like the scuff marks on the clay, and it just gives it a very like rough style to it as well. The lighting as well isn't as like studio.
That's why you get all those reaction images out of the various expressions that Wallace pulls in.
Yeah, in just that one. Very like unproportioned. Like he looks so different throughout the whole film. At one point, like early on, he looks like the classic Gromit, and then throughout the whole film, he just looks very different to what we have now.
Mm-hmm.
Even in the final act, like the whole bit where he's in the rocket, he just looks very different.
Yeah, and that's like what's the fun of it? It's like a pilot version of Wallace and Gromit. It's like, you know, what they would have shown to studios to get the thing made. But I like it. I like this one. It's my least favorite, like in terms of plot and narrative, because it's quite simple. You know, they don't have the budget for much.
I think it's quite charming in the sense that the plot is, oh, he thinks the moon's made of cheese, which it is. Let's go to the moon.
Yeah, I'm just happy that Gromit doesn't speak in it.
Gromit doesn't speak.
He was originally going to speak.
famously.
What was he gonna sound like? You know?
I think it was Harry? Famous comedian.
Yari Pet.
Yari Man.
Hey. Which famous comedian?
Wallace lad.
Who was Gromit gonna be voiced by?
Oh, not right.
Well, I do.
Yeah.
Anyway, well
a famous. Happened. Yeah, you can do your research.
Probably. Yeah.
I think the plot's very simple. It's very easy to get on board with.
Yeah.
But it lacks the depth of the other ones, you know.
I think especially when you're following that up a couple of years later with The Wrong Trousers, because that was the Grandeur was 89, Wrong Trousers was 93.
89, was that late?
Mm.
It looks like early 80s, doesn't it? Yeah.
It does, yeah.
Mm-hmm. It did take about like 7 to 8 years to make.
Oh, yeah, exactly. So it would have been like technology from then. Mm. Yeah. I think you could call him an antagonist in this first one, the robot.
Yeah.
I think it's very bittersweet. I always felt like this is one of the first things I saw as a kid, like full stop, that I can remember. And I always was quite scared by this robot. He was quite violent in terms of like Wallace and Gromit antagonist. Like he literally goes to like clobber Wallace's head in with like a bat.
Would you say he's the most violent out of all of them?
I think so.
They're all lunatics.
Yeah.
Feathers McGraw pulls a gun on them.
Oh, that's true.
These films are like lions.
The robot dog tries to put them through a blender to turn them into dog food.
Oh, yeah, I forgot about that.
The Ralph Fiennes rabbit hunter wants to shoot Wallace. It's like they're all like that.
Has anybody played as the Rabbit Hunter?
I didn't know that.
And you've got the Baker girl who tries to blow them up.
She is just a murderer.
Yeah, her whole thing is that she's a Black Widow. So yeah,
it pretty much opens up.
He's tame compared to the rest of them.
Well, he's misunderstood, I think. So all you want to do is go skiing.
Yeah.
And then Wallace is a horrible man, because what Wallace does is he brings this being to life for 5 minutes and then he's just gonna die again.
Exactly, exactly. He has this brief like moment.
He's jail time.
Like he acts at first. This robot's acting as like, you know, like some sort of warden of the moon. He's just about like batter Wallace for like taking some cheese, right?
Why is he up there?
Why is he up there? No one knows why he's up there. Maybe Wallace put him in there in the first place. He's just like he's like a past experiment. He just like saw red when Wallace like powered him back up.
It's like Frankenstein.
Yeah, exactly. It could be, you know?
A 50p... What is it? 50...
He's like,
what,
he puts 10p in and that gives him like 30 seconds of life. And then he puts like a 50p in him, which gives him like another hour probably. And he spends that last hour, you know, making peace with his life and having a ski. But then after this film ends, he's just going to power back down.
Yeah.
And he's just gonna be left on the moon for another like.
Well, I was saying he's always happy, doesn't he?
Yeah, but he's got a soul. Clearly, he goes like.
Yeah, he's got a soul.
He's got like arms, and his arms do like.
Why are you making light of this?
he even has like little tools and stuff.
Yeah, he's got like expressions.
Famous indicator that he's got a soul.
Oh,
he's got tools.
Tin Man. He's got tools
and stuff.
What, the Tin Man?
Yeah, Tin Man.
Yeah,
similar story. Tin Man actually.
But famously, the Tin Man didn't have a heart. He had to go and get one.
He had a heart, really. It was just inside him the whole time.
Why did he want to ski? Is there like a backstory to him?
He just imagines, oh, I'd love to go skiing, me. And then he looks at the earth and he's like, oh my God, skiing. And then he tries to get... That's the saddest bit when he tries to get on the rocket. And he's like, just... It's the misunderstanding that gets me. Because Wallace is like, oh my God, he's gonna come and like try and batter us again for stealing all the cheese. But he just wants to come home. He just wants to like live and like be free. Yeah. I feel very strongly about this robot.
I feel paternal towards him.
Exactly, so do I.
Sad, isn't it?
It's awful.
Do you also feel paternal towards?
Who?
Gromit.
Gromit?
Can we talk about Gromit in these films?
Oh, he gets abused. Unbelievable. Like,
yeah, Wallace is horrible to him.
Yeah, we were having a pre-podcast chat about this, about how much of a victim Gromit is in these films. He's the smartest one. He's the one, like, it's the Hong Kong Fooey thing of, like, the main protagonist who's meant to be the competent one isn't the competent one.
I couldn't have predicted what you were going to say, though. If you give me a million guesses, to all the two people Hong Kong Fooey who's going to go over and conversation.
To all the two people living who've still seen Hong Kong Fooey. Hong Kong Fooey, the number one super guy, is not the, he's not the driving force of this. It's always him who pretends to be good and then Spot the Cat always like comes along. And Gromit's the same character of like the competent pet that doesn't speak and like makes the main character look good. And then at the end of every episode, there's like an eye roll. It's like, oh, wow, thanks, Hong Kong Fooey. Thanks, Wallace. I couldn't have done it without me.
Well, Wallace would be dead if it weren't for Gromit.
Wallace would have been shot and
all
like,
Wallace
punched.
Does is he's like, oh, I'm going to get another. What's he overpacing with Feathers McGraw, isn't he?
Yeah.
Yes,
he'll get out of my house. Mm-hmm. He doesn't say that. But he's like, oh, I've got my new palia. And then Wallace is like, you know when he stood in the vein?
Oh, sad is that? That is sad, yeah.
But he plays Happy Birthday too, but he buggers him off the next day.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. When he ties Gromit to the trousers and he sends him for a walk on his own.
Yeah. That's
really sad. you've got a pair of electronic trousers.
Yeah.
Do you basically like tie into a pair of jeans and like throw them to the wind?
Yeah.
Tie into a kite.
Tie into a kite.
Yeah.
I just love Gromit.
What do you guys do to your dogs?
I just like Gromit as a little, he's a little guy. Little guy, I mean.
Mm-hmm. Speaking of dogs, close shave. That one's about dog food.
It's a true transition now. Yeah. Have I ever seen a close shave?
It's the one with Shaun the Sheep in it.
And the robot.
The one that turns Shaun the Sheep into dog food.
It's the one where the big dog is a robot dog.
Yeah. Oh, wait, no. Yeah.
What's the actual plot of that one?
Well, the one...
He's told you.
Yeah, I just said. The one who turns Shaun the Sheep into dog food, but Wallace and Gromit don't want to turn him into dog food.
Does he not start like a shearing company?
Yes, he does. He's like shearing the sheep. Yeah, he's got the wool shop. And then he meets the lady who's just like a female version of him, which is a very funny design for that character. I do love that. Hmm. And how they're like... And then like the deal breaker for him is like her not even liking cheese. Of all the things...
That is so
I love that ending because it's just so like funny but also mm-hmm. just depressing.
It's in character, it was just sad. Like how can your existence revolve around cheese that much?
I don't like Wednesdaydale.
That I love that bit so not even Wednesdaydale.
Not even Wednesdaydale. It's like so heartbreaking. So like you thought you found his little soulmate.
Yeah.
Okay, speaking of we'll go back to the antagonist now, right? Not speaking of soulmates.
Speaking of soulmates, I love Gromit.
This is the weirdest proposal I've ever heard in my life. Anyway.
Well, the dog, the evil
Which
dog, he's called Preston.
Yeah.
Yes.
He is terrifying.
Preston.
Oh my God.
He's a Terminator.
He's a Terminator, yeah. He's a big Terminator reference. And this was like the second, you said a close shave was like
that's the
90s, yeah?
Close shave's the third
this
one.
This was after... This is after Terminator 1 and 2. So like they definitely had that in mind.
All of them like are based on like different themes, isn't it? Like first one's like sci-fi, second one's like
it's like a heist movie, isn't it?
Heist, yeah. Third is very much a sci-fi esque romp of Terminator.
It is just Terminator with sheep, yeah.
And then the fourth one's just pretty much
it's a werewolf film.
Yeah, horror film, and the fifth one.
Uh-huh. Yeah. I never really noticed that before.
A murder film.
Which one's the murder one?
Like fifth one, like a pulp.
A matter of love.
Pulp murder film.
Yeah, it is. It's like a
some could say pulp fiction.
Coming soon to a podcast near
film.
You.
Yeah, it is a film.
Mm-hmm. That's what we could have been told about today.
Yeah,
thanks, Jake.
Funny hell. He's gonna listen to this.
Shaun the Sheep then got his own spin-off, didn't he?
Yes. Was Shaun the Sheep in that first, and then got his own show after?
Yeah, the show was like 2010.
That's why he doesn't watch it as a kid. Looks like in the show.
I don't know why they've ever made a spin-off of him. It's very weird.
Like, Shaun the Sheep's cool.
I know, but like, how long did it take? Like 10 years.
Did you not have a son?
Timmy's just like a relative.
Timmy's part of the flock. Shaun isn't like some sort of like patriarch of the whole flock. You know, he's not like.
Well, he does sort of run it for. We'll get on to it, but he does sort of run it for them. He's not like. Yeah. There's not like a sheep hierarchy, but he does sort of run the.
He's the boss. Just because he's got like more than one brain cell.
Like Buster or something.
He's called Bitter the dog, not Buster. Get it right, Dion, aren't
we? But yeah, close shave. I do like a close shave. I think that's good. Love and Death, I think, was the next short after that, and
Love and Death was a feature length one, wasn't it?
No, it was a short, I think.
It came out after Were Rabbit, didn't it?
Yeah, I think Were Rabbit was the only feature film, but yeah.
I forgot how many there
half
were.
Half an hour.
Really? Uh-huh. It's only that short?
Yeah.
Oh my God, that I don't... Wow.
It has got, like, literally, I think it's one of the funniest endings in any film ever.
The ending,
where the balloon goes over. Yeah. It's so messed up.
The bit where he's trying to, like, throw the bomb and it's, like, Yorkshire.
Oh, the Batman reference.
Yeah, that was really funny. I like that bit.
Was that one not in the new one?
No,
that was the...
It's just blended together now.
Yeah. Robert's trying to throw the bomb and he's like, you have the sign which says Yorkshire and then the next one's a nun.
That's why I was getting confused, because when they're in the third act bit of the new one, you've got the whole gag with the signs and that. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Also, do you know in Love and Death, do you know the big loud girl's dog?
Yeah.
Mm. Does she ever come up again?
No, she just never appears.
Is she dead as well?
No,
because they like, take her in, don't they? Yeah,
they take her in.
And she's in the van with them.
So you're just not a true grommet head.
Come on, man.
They take them in and they're running the bakery business together, and they put on Puppy Love, I think, on the radio, and then they drive off into the sunset.
Yeah.
Which is a bit sad, because she was like a victim to her. So like, I would have thought though she would probably be a new mate.
Yeah, Wallace is like, oh, well, we'll just kill your mother.
I don't want to see grommet puppies, though.
But she didn't like her. She didn't like the bakelite girl anyway.
Yeah, she was. Isn't she the one that like screws her over in the end?
The big girl abused her.
Like, it was pretty much a metaphor abuse.
Yeah.
Which was like dark. Like, that was dark. That was like very dark compared to like what they've done.
I'm just imagining like the SpongeBob roller coaster thing when you see Wallace and Gromit's really dark, where it just like goes over a slight bump.
No, but for kids, it like does like. I do remember a lot of these like films as a kid, and I'm thinking, oh my God, that's horrible. Like, the robot, I always thought was horrible. Preston getting like crushed into a can. He was terrifying in himself as well. He had the big metal jaw.
I think he was sheltered,
I was soft as muck. but he was like this big, like, robot.
Don't even joke, lad. Wallace was the scariest thing ever.
Don't ever joke with Gromit.
Well, it's 2 a.m. the sleep and start talking about Wallace and Gromit.
So waking up with a cold sweat.
They start talking about Preston. Yeah. Whoa, don't go there.
But yeah, I like Love and Death. I think it's the weakest of the Wallace and Gromit things. But yeah,
I think it's my favourite, you know.
Really?
Honestly, I don't know what it might be nostalgic. It's the one I've seen the most.
I think it's it's close between that and the most recent one that they've done.
I guess you could say it's a close shave.
But yeah, it's a close between them two for being like the ones at the bottom. But
I like the new one.
I think I'm not saying that I don't like it. I just think there's got to be one at the bottom.
Yeah. It just feels really derivative in the fact that they've got Fez McGraw back. He becomes such a sensation.
I did like the twist, like, all along they had like the diamond. That was fun. Like, pretty much the diamond he stole.
That was in the teapot or whatever.
Oh, that was fun.
Yeah. I think, the original feature film they did was much better. Mm-hmm. Obviously, because it won an Oscar.
Yeah.
With Ralph Fiennes and Helena Bonham Carter.
Who's she?
Lady Tottington.
Yeah, she was Lady Tottington.
I remember these.
It won against Howl's Moving Castle, which was like,
did it actually?
Yeah. That's good. That's funny.
I mean, arguably, it's just as impressive animation-wise.
It's funny because Ghibli's like very close friends with Aardman, so they didn't really take it from it.
I'm sure Aardman presented Miyazaki with like a bust of his face in the in the Aardman style afterwards. Cool. So that
and
was
I think Ghibli did like the rabbit.
That's cute.
I like that.
But Where Rabbit is one of my favorites just because it's the biggest one to feature lens. It's like the big blockbuster of Wallace and Gromit, I suppose.
Yeah, it's the Interstellar.
Like, no one could never do.
He couldn't do it.
American, for one. He's British.
He's quite famously British.
Ignore me, sorry.
This an April Fool's Day joke. You just carry on like this. Anyway.
That's one of my favourites. It's got a few good jokes in it. I love the town and like how much they add to like the community around Wallace and Gromit.
I like that, yeah.
The copper, who's voiced by Peter Kay, he takes the helmet off and he's got a really long head.
Where about the one where he's like, sounds like someone's arsing about.
Yeah, that one. I like the bit where the church meetings and that. It feels a bit like...
Because of stuff your bunny.
What's that film we did? The one about in World War II.
Oh, yeah,
Went the Day Well. It feels a bit like that, and that there's like the whole town full of like personalities and that, and they all got like come together to like help out.
Yeah.
But just like all the crazy townsfolk, like, do you remember there's a bit, it's one of the farmers, right? And the were-rabbit just went through it on a tear through these people's like gardens and that. He's like, I haven't seen this since the great slug plague of 72. And then like something happens and he's like, he brings it up and he goes, the slugs are back! And like just that they keep that bit running throughout. And this man who's just like terrified of the giant slugs. I remember the giant slugs very well as well in my childhood. I was just thinking of like, what the hell happened there? You know, it's like a little like,
Have cameras, but Billy sat on his hands at the words. I remember the big slugs of everywhere.
No, but it's like one of those like bits of world building where they just throw it out there and then like you know in Star Wars. In Star Wars when he says, oh, me and your father fought in the Clone War. You're thinking, what the hell's a Clone War? Yeah? Same thing.
Yeah, but they haven't come back to the big slugs, have they?
No, yeah.
That's the next one.
Wallace and Gromit, Revenge of the Slugs.
Wallace and Gromit.
Wallace and Gromit, yeah.
Aardman was well known, like referencing stuff earlier on. The slug stuff could just be flushed away.
Mm. That just brought those two together. Thank you so much, Dion. That's like, I can now imagine the slugs in that universe. Okay, anyway, I like that one. It was kind of scary to me as well. I was so scared by Wallace and Gromit. I'm just scared of Wallace and Gromit. It's because it takes these actual like scary genres of like thrillers and horrors and like turns them into like kids like palatable versions.
It's very much pulp fiction once again, but like it's pretty much pulp like stuff.
Yeah, exactly. It's like pulpy narratives. Yeah,
I've never heard the word pulp said so much.
What's going on? But yeah, like it's a werewolf narrative, just like beat by beat.
Yeah.
But they just replace it with a werewolf eating like vegetables instead of like eating people.
Yeah.
And the bit where he transforms into the rabbit, sorry, to transform them both, that'd be a very different film.
Yeah.
Well, just murders people. but like it is the same tropes of like horror and thrillers and sci-fi that like is just like merged down into boring you.
Yeah, but he's
sorry. into like a kid-friendly narrative. And I really like that about it. That's why it works so well. I think that's why it's got such a broad appeal.
Ralph Fiennes in that film is the funniest thing.
Mm. It's a toupee.
Do you reckon, before we move on to whatever it is we're talking about next, do you reckon they're going to keep doing Wallace and Gromit films?
Yeah.
Well, they made a deal with Netflix, didn't they? I'm sure whatever the new one was called was like a joint partnership with Netflix, and so was... They made another Chicken Run.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. But saying that, they're making Shaun the Sheep 3, which is going to be theatrical. So I don't think
Shaun the Sheep films.
Yeah, I've seen them. One of them, anyway.
There's the original one, and then they had Farmageddon.
And they're making a third one.
Actually, going mad.
No, it happened. They
had the show, didn't they?
Yeah, had the show.
I've only ever seen the show.
Well, that's a good transition point onto talking about that sort of stuff.
Mm-hmm.
I prefer Shaun the Sheep as a character over Wallace and Gromit.
Over both Wallace and Gromit.
Yeah, I prefer the dynamic between him the mad farmer who looks a bit like Radio's Chris Evans, and the dog
Bitter.
Yeah, like Shaun the Sheep's more like a Bugs Bunny character. I think that's why.
Yeah.
Like he, like Wallace and Gromit are the, like I said, it's the Hong Kong Fooey like formula, but like Shaun the Sheep goes off Bugs Bunny in that he's like the like funny cartoon mastermind and he's outsmarting all the people who he'd like normally like think are in control of him.
I haven't seen it in years though. What's it even about?
It's just like his antics.
Yeah, it's just farm
them kicking off.
Farmland antics. He's just like
it's like barnyard.
Yeah, so
essentially
the pigs will get in and eat everything, then they've got to sort something out so the farmer doesn't lose his farm.
Those
and
pigs were dickhead.
Well it's quite sad because the farmer gets hit on the head and he forgets all like everything.
God.
And you've got like a proper montage
in the film, you said, sorry.
Yeah, in the film, and it's like a like they've got like a proper emotional song on it, and they're like showing a montage of the farmer and he's got like a full head of hair.
He gets
Shaun as like the puppy, and it's like, oh mm-hmm. man,
and you got like the villain who's trying to kill him.
Yeah,
like, actually kill him.
He's like an animal. He's like a pest control person, like an animal.
He's like trying to euthanize and put down fucking.
When did this come out?
This was like 2011, I think.
Yeah,
really? 2015. Yeah, I remember. It was right when.
Why do you know that?
Because I remember.
Biggest Shaun the Sheep fan.
I was a big fan of the kid
over here.
No, it was because Star Wars was coming out remember then.
Oh, right.
Oh, so did you pick Shaun the Sheep over Star Wars?
No. I remember the trailer being shown.
Oh right, yeah. Yeah, there we go. That is a standout because that's like Aardman's other like big success, I think.
Yeah.
In terms of like stop motion stuff,
we spoke about much on the sheep.
I've got Aardman backpacks, but they're too small to fit anything in.
Hmm.
It's like one's in the shape of do you know the rabbit that's like gets Wallace's jumper on?
Oh,
yeah. Pooch. Yeah, that one. It's like it's him as a backpack, and I've got another one where it's Gromit in a yellow raincoat.
Oh,
I've got a Gromit mug.
I've got a Gromit mug as well.
Yeah. I'll have a Thanks, Gromit mug.
I think everyone's had a Gromit mug at one point.
Gromit mug's just a funny little concept.
That was just like British a complete culture. Detour, but it's just like, it's just like sparked in my head. I can see it hanging up in the house.
I think people...
Or just hanging from my wall.
I think people don't talk about Shaun the Sheep as much because I'm just thinking the image of that rabbit like crucifying on your wall or something.
Ooh, I do love a bit of Gorgonzola.
He was really creepy, that rat.
No,
I was scared of Shaun the Sheep as well.
You're just scared of everything.
I was scared of a sheep.
You're scared of my
dog.
You
know the bit in...
are you pulling my leg?
Bit of a dito here, but you know the bit in The Simpsons where Mr. Burns gets like hit by radiation?
Have
a go
at The Simpsons?
Yes,
it's really scary, right? There's a bit like that in Shaun the Sheep where I think it's bits that gets covered in mud and he turns like this mud monster comes out the bun and goes... and like attacks him. And like attack Shaun, like all the sheep are terrified of him. Shaun, you know, the usually like witty, like again Bugs Bunny character.
He's always cracking wise.
He's always got meh. Yeah,
that's what he says.
That's what he does. He's got a different voice than all the other ones as well. That's quite cool. But yeah,
it's actually Justin Fletcher who does the voice for him.
No, it's not. Yeah. Mr. Tumble.
Really? Mr. Tumble does the voice.
I can hear that now.
Mr. Tumble.
Yeah, yeah. But Shaun the Sheep's more successful. No, not more successful. Just less talked about.
Well, no, he's pretty successful because this spin-off got a spin-off.
Did, yeah?
Timmy Time, yes. It's Timmy. He's got like three
TV shows too. Like there was one where they go to like a circus, but it was like a fairground.
That's mad. That had Farmageddon as well.
And he got a Christmas one.
He's had more of a presence than Wallace and Gromit have for like the last. Obviously, well, Wallace and Gromit are more iconic, but
I suppose that Wallace and Gromit having less of a presence is because of Peter Sellers' death.
Mm-hmm.
I'd say.
Yeah,
I remember they brought Wallace and Gromit back for. I could be wrong here. I think it was like DFS adverts.
Yeah,
and it was some guy doing an impression, wasn't it?
Uh-huh. I was
testing the waters.
It was the understudy for Peter Sellers because when they were making the game, they actually had him to voice Wallace because Peter Sellers didn't want to come back.
Oh. But yeah, Shaun the Sheep, it seems like a more like kid oriented like property.
Yeah.
Like that's why it seems
Well, no one's getting like eaten by lions in these films.
No, that's true. Like, I've not seen the because I feel like if it's anything that would happen in the films. But like the show
no
was quite
Timmy time.
It was no, Timmy's like still alive and kicking as far as I know.
Yeah, well.
Shaun the Sheep, it's good. Drop back to another ones.
Comment about Flushed Away.
Yes,
Flushed Away. My other favourite.
Ian McKellen's a frog.
Ian McKellen's really good.
I've got no attachment to Flushed Away.
What do you mean?
It's whatever.
You like it?
It's like, it's just weird because it's in that middle ground because it's a CG animated film, but it's in the Aardman style.
It's a very good CG.
Oh, it is. I didn't.
It's just it's. I don't when like when you think about it, I don't tend to think about it as Aardman because it's
yeah,
CG.
Yeah. Well, I even had to ask before. I was like, it's Flushed Away Aardman, which kind of says something.
It's just one that I'd never had an attachment to when I was younger.
It was like the second. Well, the third DreamWorks film, wasn't it?
Yes.
It was their final one, I think.
That was a DreamWorks.
Yeah. Because Arthur Christmas was DreamWorks.
No, Sony. That was Sony. Sony partnership.
Yeah. But Arthur Christmas, like, completely ditched the art style of it, like, the big, like, googly eyes.
I forgot Arthur Christmas was an Aardman film.
Yeah,
is it?
Exactly. Yeah, it is.
That's a great one. That's good. Arguably the best one.
It's good, but is it Aardman?
Yeah, if it's Aardman, it is. If you count it as Aardman, then I'm going to die on this hill. If you'd count Arthur Christmas as an Aardman film, it's the best one across the board.
Oh, I don't know.
I stand by that.
I don't know.
It is
really good. I think Pirates and Band of Scientists.
Oh, Pirates.
Oh, my God, that's great as well.
I love Pirates.
With Hugh Laurie?
Oh, yes, that was him. Yeah.
Hugh Laurie and Martin Freeman, wasn't it?
Martin Freeman.
David Tennant plays.
So funny.
See, there's just loads of these getting pulled out. Early man.
I didn't know it was about the football.
I didn't know that.
So we went out and see it with my dad, and my dad's loving it. He's like, "Oh, caveman playing footy, class." And I'm like, "What's going on?"
That was so weird because they had like all the cavemen speaking dinosaurs. British, and then you got the Romans speaking like weird accents, which are like over the top.
It's one I gave a miss because I heard it was about football.
Early man's terrible.
It wasn't very good.
I think that's what New Year's Day.
I liked like one joke in it. And that was it.
It just looked unsettling. I didn't like it. The way you've been going on about everything, I felt about
how scary.
I don't like his little pig thing that follows him around.
I don't like Eddie Redmayne voice in the caveman.
Tell him.
It's just weird. I don't like. I don't remember much of Pirates, but that I remember it being pretty good. But yeah, Arthur Christmas, top quality film.
Can we go back to the Pirates quickly while you're googling Early Man?
No, I'm not googling Early Man. I'm googling Aardman's like weird esoteric horror things they did in the 80s. Which there's a thing called Babylon, Pirates. Back on
Pirates. I want to hear about this.
It's this thing called Babylon. I've not seen it, but apparently it's like really dark and horrible. Right. It says, this is a description letterbox, dark animation examining the thin line between human definitions of war and peace. Part of Sweet Disaster, a 1986 series of short films made for Channel 4. It consists of animated visions of the apocalypse.
Is that where the Bad Kids thing came from?
I don't know.
Bad Kid's a good one. I like that.
But
it's the ginger kid with the really annoying voice, and he's just like speaking into the camera because he's meant to be speaking to his dad.
He's good.
You know what, Angry Kid?
Yeah, that's Angry Kid. Yeah, Angry Kid's
I didn't know that.
That's up there as well.
I didn't know it wasn't until I went to like Forbidden Planet where
that makes so much
out for now.
I thought it wouldn't be because that's like proper like. You know,
a bit more.
Bit much.
Edgy. Well, it was when they were like testing the waters, weren't they? What they could do.
Same era as Creature Comforts, which I would say is probably what my favourite thing from them. I think Creature Comforts
wasn't
is
it
great.
Like all improvised and they just put the animation up?
Well, to me, it seemed like they would go and like ask people questions on the street and then animate it afterwards, which would make it.
Yeah.
Which makes it funny.
Didn't they try and do something similar just a couple of years ago?
They did. Sky has been doing parodies of it recently.
They did bring it back for like the little. Indent things.
That's what, that's what I'm thinking of.
Pick one of the various films that have just been rattled off to talk about. You didn't speak much about Flushed Away or Pirates.
I've seen Pirates in years, but I remember like it's really. I think it's really funny.
It's one of the best.
I think like I always think about the bit when he's dunking his custard cream into his tea.
God, there's a whole bit.
I don't remember that bit. Explain that bit.
That does happen, doesn't it?
I don't know.
I remember.
You could just be making.
Oh my god, that
could just be lying.
I remember the part.
I could be lying through my teeth. And he wouldn't know.
The cast in that film was like weird. They got Sam Hayek as like one of the other pirates.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And then you got I don't know who it was, but like there's like so many casts in it. I think was it Brian Blessed in it?
Yes, he's the Pirate King.
God.
Is he, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, that was so. It's such a good film. And I always, in my head as a kid, split it up into two different films because it felt like two different films. But it was so good because it was just.
Can you elaborate on
the one?
Can you elaborate on?
Because there was like, I thought it was. I thought the full title of the film is called Pirates and Adventure with Scientists. Yeah. I thought there was one called Pirates. There's one called the Pirates.
There
and Adventure
was actually
Scientist.
So oh, in the US, they actually called it Pirates and Band of Misfits. Which is awesome.
And it is just one of the most enjoyable modern Aardman things. It's got such personality. It separates itself from the whole like Shaun the Sheep Wallace and Gromit vibe of like Britishness while still like being like in this whole zone. I think having Queen Victoria as a villain is quite fun.
Yeah, like, she like hates pirates.
She is like absolutely.
Is that what, the one they pull up in the ship and they're all like trapped in cages?
She does her murder it too. She tries to kill them. Mm-hmm.
There's a guy who's like still alive there. Like, oh my god, it's Peter. Like, oh hello. Like I love that bit. That's it's a good parody of Pirates of the Caribbean as well in that bit. And I love all the gags. I like the visual gags.
I like the running gag where they're all in disguises.
Oh yeah,
we're not actually schoolgirls. It's just the pirates. That's so funny. So, I vividly remember going to see that with my dad. I must have been about 6 or 7 years old, and I'm like,
I remember
my dad was like crying, laughing. He thought it was laugh.
I remember seeing it in Butlins as a kid.
In Butlins,
yeah,
fascinating.
That's class.
This is sort of just like brought out like there's so many things that Aardman have done that people always just think of them with as Shaun the Sheep and Wallace and Gromit, and I thought the same going into this, but like we've just rattled off so many things that you just forget it's them. Mm-hmm. Like Morph's Aardman.
Oh, really?
Morph's Aardman. Yeah, Creature Comfort, Arthur Christmas. We have talked about Arthur Christmas.
They did
before.
A Star Wars episode, didn't they, recently?
Yes,
Star
they did.
Visions.
They did in Star Wars Visions, where they get loads of guest studios
did
in. One of the episodes is an Aardman animation.
Which is about, like, the pod racing?
Yeah, it is.
That's
it's
cool.
An Aardman pod racing episode.
That's
cool. But yeah, do you want to go back to Flushed Away? Because you sort of, you seem to be very, very excited, and then you pivoted
away. I remember Ian McKellen. I remember the Tom Jones bit. Hugh Jackman's in it.
Oh, it's Tom Jones! I love that bit. It's so full of like it's good bits. It has two British prime ministers in it. Rishi Sunak and Keir Starmer. Yeah.
Oh my god.
Is the main character and his cousin.
Just had a conversation about
that's
this.
Not bad though. That's, like, that's been a thing for years that people say that Rishi looks like
the former prime minister. A rat is bad.
That he looks like. I'm just saying he looks like Roddy the rat.
I always thought, and I don't know why I always thought this. I always thought, what's he, Roddy? Rodney.
Yeah,
Roddy. I always thought his mate who comes down to his house was James Corden.
I thought it was Nick Frost.
It's a James Corden character, yeah. Yeah.
I thought it was like Nick Frost.
Oh, it could have been, could have been.
It does look like.
It's more like Nick Frost though than James Corden.
Andy Serkis voice.
Was it? Oh. But yeah, it's a good cast though. Hugh Jackman, Andy Serkis,
Ian McKellen to be in this film.
No, Andy Serkis is the one of the rats with his mate, who's voiced by
Is Andy Serkis the thin rat?
Yeah. Spike. Hugh Laurie.
I don't think the names of the Flushed Away characters matter too much.
It's all the actors, really, isn't it?
Bill Nye
is the big one. Yeah, there you go.
I used to work in a laboratory.
I always find it funny. Like the villain's plot is legitimately just to ruin football.
Mm-hmm.
Like he wants to like drown London,
yeah.
Doesn't he?
Yeah, he wants to drown London and create like an underwater like paradise for all these like frog babies. And, like, oh, daddy, can we go to the water? It's like a weird. It's in retrospect, it sounds very Smiling Friends in that.
I thought you were doing a Smiling Friends bit.
It, like the sound like that though, like yeah, they sound like Smiling Friends character. Anyway, yeah.
I like the slugs.
Oh, the slugs are like the slugs were like. The minions before the minions
the
were
like you'd go to a craft market and like you'd just see loads of these the slug things, but they're painted as different characters. So it'd mm-hmm. be like a Spider-Man slug or
yeah,
something.
Yeah, I really like them. I think they do the whole bit quite well. They don't overstay their welcome. Mm. They're like they just appear.
Voices.
They had the high pitched like Alvin the Chipmunk's voices as well, and they sang, and they were just little, good little gags to like justify like the musical bits. They do
what musical bits were
they? They sing the Lonely Song.
Yeah.
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
Be happy.
And they sing that one as well. I think that, yeah. I think they do end up singing Rolling on the River as well.
Yeah, the end.
Yeah.
That's a good musical bit.
There's one, I'm surprised we haven't talked, I know we're going off thing, but I'm surprised we haven't talked about Chicken Run yet.
Yeah, I was just thinking, we haven't talked about Chicken Run.
We hate it. Oh, it's wrong film.
I've also got no attachment to Chicken Run.
It's the one where, to me, I never watched it as a kid because I always found it kind of just...
It's pretty dark.
The only attachment I've got...
I know, like SpongeBob meme again, but like...
The only attachment I've got is my mum used to do the I don't want to be a pie, I don't like gravy bit whenever I was having a pie.
It's just like The Great Escape, isn't it? But it's instead of like a prisoner of war camp, they're...
Chickens?
Yeah, the chickens getting turned into pies.
I do like the... Are them rats? Which were pretty funny. The funny like rat characters.
I don't remember any rats.
Are you not still talking about Flush Away?
No. It's a character who's like the characters are trying to sell them stuff.
I don't remember. Are you not thinking about the second one?
Hang on. Are you on Fantastic Mr. Fox?
No, Chicken Run. There's like these. I don't think the rats, but like the animals who try and sell them, like very much like the black, like not the black market.
They're like black market, like they like smuggle stuff into the camp, don't they? Yeah. Chicken Run. It feels quite low stakes compared to the rest of them. I don't know why. Like it feels quite self-contained.
Really?
Well, I don't know. What gets me is how out of all of the Aardman things is Chicken Run the one that Netflix landed on to make a sequel to?
Mm-hmm. Because I think it's the one people asked for the most.
Really? But why do you need a Chicken Run sequel? Two
Ks. A lot of people have nostalgia over the movie and the Metal Gear Solid game.
Isn't?
Oh yes, the game.
Isn't Ramesh Ranganathan the second
Ramesh Ranganathan, isn't it?
I watched it.
They like end up in like a chicken. Like I don't even know what it is. It's like a facility. But it's like really like sci-fi and modern, and then the second one.
Yeah,
I'm sure like Bella Ramsey the kid in it.
Yeah,
oh shit!
Wow,
it was when like Last of Us was blowing up too.
Who's the villain in the second one?
Who's the what?
The villain in the second one.
I think it was the villain's sister, wasn't it? Something like that.
I have no idea.
It was the villain's sister. Or it was the villain.
I don't care enough about Chicken Run to remember anything about it.
Because Aardman villains are normally quite memorable. Like I remember the evil couple in the first one.
I think it was the same couple, but
she died. She got like grounded. She got made into a pie. I think that's what happened.
Explodes in the second one.
I think so.
But I've ever seen Chicken Run.
You will have seen Chicken Run.
I've seen it. It's only six ages.
You remember the rooster? Surely.
Yeah. Vaguely.
The rooster.
I don't know why. I at first got confused with them. What's that film? We're here to get turkeys off the menu.
Freebird. Similar idea,
back
I guess.
In time. Yeah, it is.
Owen Wilson.
Yeah. Mel Gibson, mate.
Owen Wilson, Mel Gibson.
Owen Wilson is one of the
isn't
turkeys.
Mel Gibson in Chicken Run 1?
I don't know.
There's an American someone famous plays Rocky.
The rooster is American, yeah.
Yeah, and then the second one is played by Shazam.
Not that Rocky.
Hang on, I'm going to check. You don't know what Chicken Run?
Chicken Run, don't really care about. Flushed Away, I sound like a proper hater here.
I know.
Fake
Flushed
fan.
Away, I don't
really, Mel Gibson. Don't, Chicken Run. Yeah. Sorry, I was on about...
I don't care about Flushed Away, really. But I do like Creature Comforts, and I do like Arthur bits. Christmas.
Someone said I eat like the thing in Creature Comforts. You know, when it's eating the big M&M or something?
You do.
What, well, the mouse?
Yeah. Because you eat the Creature Comforts.
I feel like everyone's got like a Creature Comforts like persona thing. I quite like... The dog and the cat.
I like the turtle because it's just that's the one I quote.
I don't know.
Egg and chips,
be.
Eggs, chips, garman.
Oh, that's what I feel. I've seen that.
Yeah, I think the dog and the cat's me and Emily. What's your favorite?
I don't know.
You don't know.
I don't know.
Creature Comforts and Ages.
Yeah, so like Creature Comforts, I like it. Angry Kid, I've never actually watched it all the way through. I've seen it like on TikTok, but that's quite funny. Morph is. Before our generation, really.
I don't remember. Mm-hmm. I don't think I've ever...
It's got like a sequel
green.
Series.
No, more the green no, one is the American stop motion, but Gumby. Morph's gummy. Morph's the orange one.
The orange, I thought it was red.
Morph's like, well...
He's like orange brown, isn't he?
Apples and oranges,
Dion.
Orange,
I thought he was red. You're taking the mickey, mate. Right.
You'd be any more pedantic. From him. okay, Billy, well, go to you here for Arthur Christmas. The only one you seem to actually like...
I like Aardman. I just don't really care about the other films. Arthur Christmas was really good. I think we'll have covered it before in the Christmas episode, so I won't go too into it. But it's got a lot of heart, and I like the characters in it. Like Arthur Christmas himself is a nice character. The granddad is a nice character. Steve is not a nice character.
Cry, you know.
Yeah, it's an emotional film.
Crime, yeah.
Why does that make you cry?
Because you think he's in. He's saying goodbye to what's it called, Evie? Mm. It's like Slate, and you're like, oh, bye. And the Air Force blow it up.
Oh, yeah.
Well, I just think the ending where it's just like they're all squabbling, then just like Arthur's just that nice. He's like, it doesn't matter. She just needs to get the present. Like, oh, mm-hmm. What a nice little bit of Christmas spirit.
Yeah, it is a good Christmas
spirit. Christmas spirit in April.
April, yeah.
Yeah.
How lovely.
I think that's all the cheese we've got time for today. Make sure to check out our Instagram, TikTok, and Facebook pages for more Cine Club podcast content. And updates.
As always, this episode was recorded and produced by us, the Sunderland University students, as well as being engineered and edited by Emily Main.
A special thanks goes out to Steve Cannon, Barbara Sadler, and Richard Berry. A reminder that our four hosts with the wrong trousers this week have consisted of me, Billy,
me, Dion,
me, Matthew,
and me, Reese. This has been a Cine Club production for Spark. Thanks for listening.